It's Friday, October 7th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Aloha, folks. Here we come. Great show for you today. Strap in.
This is the Geek News Central podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume, because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central podcast.
Aloha, everyone, and thank goodness it's Friday. Ha ha. I hope everyone has had a wonderful week and is looking forward for a weekend. I know some of you probably have kids that are going to be off school on Monday, those of you that live here in the United States. I know that my kids are off, and fortunately, I don't have to work on Monday, so I'm pretty excited about having a three-day weekend. We're actually going to go to the beach on Saturday. I spend some time with my sister and her kids. I got a birthday. So we're going out to an area that's called Bellows here in Oahu, and hang out there and have a good time and get our feet in the sand and unplug. Cell phone stay at the house. You know how that goes. But hey, it's been an amazing week for me. Hope it's been one for you. I know we've been busy. I'm going to get into that a little bit. But of course, as always, I want to thank all of you that are long-term subscribers to the show. I want to thank you for staying subscribed, staying plugged in the whole nine yards. And for those of you that are new, thanks for checking out the show. And make sure you stay with us for a few shows and to check out all our great content. And also, please visit geeknewscentral.com, as I'm sure you'll enjoy the information over there. I've had a kind of an interesting morning. I got up very, very, very early. I had a meeting that I was scheduled to go to that I had to be actually at the office at 7 a.m. So, you know, the job I'm in now, I have a little more flexibility. I usually can get up a little later, but I had to be in by 7 this morning. But I sat down to the computer at about 5 a.m. and did a real quick check on news. And lo and behold, I found a link within the actual on the site, basically on my stats page, that showed it was coming from news.com. So I went over there, and as a matter of fact, quite a few links. And I got to the site, and it said Blog 100 on the website, and showed my content, a picture of a snapshot of the website, and some information about the actual weblog on there. And I was like, whoa, what's this? And what it is Geek News Central has been honored and being announced as the top 100 website by news.com. And the way they actually wrote it up in their on their site, it says, Geek News Central has been selected as part of news.com Blog 100, a feature in which news.com editors and reporters are helping find the best news and views on the web for the convenience of our readers. I thought, wow, that was amazing. I'm quite humbled and honored that we were picked. And we were actually picked in the category, cutting edge category. So how do you like that? You are listening to a cutting edge podcast and you read a cutting edge weblog. All right, where's the needle at? Let me pop my head here. Okay, that's it. But after my meeting this morning, I had to finish up there, I guess, about 8:30. Had to turn right around and be in another meeting at 9, and today was the day for a final exam. I've got a final exam in a management class I'm in, so I was watching a watch because I knew I had to be ready to sit down and take the test at 1, and basically I took a late lunch. They give us 2 hours, so I basically said I can maybe squeeze an hour and a half, and so I went and took my test, and did pretty good. We'll find out in a couple of days. The professor was he wasn't too hard. That's the first 10 questions. I was a little bit, oh no, but after that, I did okay. But I got home early, and it's still daylight here in Honolulu, and I'm recording. It is now 5:30 We got a family thing we're going to go to. We got to be somewhere at 8 tonight, and we're going to go actually to they have a Chinese group in at the Blaisdell, which is a big center here, and they're doing an acrobatic type of show, so we're going to be going to see that. Now, a little bit on the professional front, we had some discussions this week with some national network providers for Podcaster News Network. And it looks to me like we are going to be able to ink a deal. I'm waiting for the proposal to come back, but I think that you guys will be surprised on who we have signed as a national, basically who's going to be handling our bandwidth and who's going to be taking care of our file distribution for us. So we're pretty happy with those negotiations. And it's the beta testers have been cut loose today to play on the site. So they're playing around and letting us know what they're thinking. Additionally, I'm over at podcastconnect.com. I've been taking applications from podcasters that are looking to take their podcast to the next step. And I've gotten more applications than actually I can handle. But if you're a podcaster and you're looking to take your show to the next level, go over to podcastconnect.com and check that out. Now, on the 15th, we're going to be doing a 60-minute presentation at techpodcast.com, and we're going to be talking about web applications. And I think it's going to be really cool. We're kind of thinking about maybe we're going to do something on podcast marketing, but we've done 3 shows on podcasting, so we're going to do strictly next Saturday on the 15th is going to be geeky tech stuff, talking about cool web applications. I know some of you have read the notes I put on the website and have actually submitted me some sites, so I appreciate those. And we will be definitely going over a lot of those sites, according to the ones that we use too. Of course, that event is going to be sponsored by GoToMeeting, and give you a little info on GoToMeeting here. Hey folks, you've got to check out GoToMeeting. Why? Because you can hold meetings right over the net from anywhere. Plus, you can hold all the meetings you want for 1 flat rate. Try it free for 30 days. No, you don't need a credit card to get started. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/tech-roundtable. That's GoToMeeting.com/tech-roundtable to get your free trial now. Now, I hope you'll join us on Saturday for that. That kicks off at 1:30 Pacific. You can sign up via the link on the techpodcast.com website. Okay, what else have I got? I got some email to go through today, of course. And, of course, the most important thing about this show is saving you guys money, right? But time is running out. GoDaddy.com is offering $1.99 domain names, transfers, or renewals with each and every new non-domain product you buy, but only until October 10th. Each domain name includes complete email, a $9.95 value, free. Plus, my listeners get an additional 10% off any order. But the $1.99 domain sale expires on the 10th. So order now at GoDaddy.com. Just enter Geek3, that's G-E-E-K, and the number 3 as your source code. Okay, that's going to continue to give you 10% off even after that expires, so enjoy. Okay, show comments. I got a bunch, and some of the stuff is already up on the link blog. I do want to thank Sam for taking the time to talking about DRM and iTunes, and that info's been posted, so all of you go ahead and go over to the link blog. And I got some comments from, I got some great comments from some readers, listeners this go around. And, I've got to respond to a couple of you because one of you sent me like a page and a half of information, things that you liked about the show, some things that you wanted us to slow down on. But I do want to appreciate it. So thank you so much for your comments. It is greatly appreciated. Also, there was a little confusion in that the WMA and OGG feeds, I have not made a decision on whether or not I'm going to not continue to produce those in the next several months. Some of you said that obviously the OGG, you're supporting the open source movement, and with the WMA that you like the little higher quality than you're getting out of the MP3s. So I'm going to have to weigh that around. And as I said on the last show, it's based upon, you know, all this extra time that I'm having to use to do the production at the end of the show. And usually we're recording late at night. So, you know, today's an exception to that rule. Excuse me. And I got a hanger-on cough. You guys had one of those? You know, the head cold's gone, but you just got one of those coughs that hangs on. It's driving me crazy. So my wife told me today, you got to go to the doctor. So I think tomorrow I'll have to do that. Now, I did get an email from Derek. And Derek says he's in response to the question I asked everyone about on premium content. I wanted to know which premium content that you all were subscribing to. And he says he's actually subscribing to Salon at salon.com. And there's several reasons for that. He says Salon remains an independent online publication, supporting themselves through advertising, sponsorships, and reader subscriptions. And he likes their work and finds it supporting. And they publish lots of stuff and make a lot of it available to subscribers every day. Additionally, they support RSS widely. And also, as a premium subscriber, he doesn't have to look at the advertisements that they put up. But he can link from, what's cool, I think, about this is he can link from his website and send those links to friends, and they can still read the material, but they have to be willing to watch a Flash Day Pass ad. I guess not a bad compromise. I agree with him. And he says that all the old material from Salon, right back to its founding date, 1990, is still available, unlike the New York Times. So, I haven't followed Salon very close, but this is one of the listeners, and Derek says this is one of the premium content sites that he subscribes to. I do want to thank Jason. You guys have just filled my inbox full of all kinds of cool stuff on the E815 Motorola cell phone that I have. So I want to thank you for that info. Okay, I got some info from Shannon. Shannon is 22. He lives out in California. He's a computer geek. And he talks about how his whole family has iPods. And he was describing what he does to get them all synchronized from one computer. And what he says is, I typically end up updating the iPods of my mom and sisters as well as my own. I find that the easiest way to do this is to set the iPods on manual control on my iTunes and then manually drag the playlist I want to add onto the iPod. If I were just going to update my own hand-me-down iPod, I think it would just be as easy to sync it to my iTunes. I would use the sync selected playlist option as well. Then it would remove all of the previous owner's stuff and load all the tracks I wanted. Shannon, I want to thank you for that, because my friend who was asking basically kind of how to do that and deal with two or three iPods with one computer, I copied this verbatim, took it to him, showed it. I took your email address off, of course, and gave it to him, and he was like, pat me on the back. So thanks for that info, all right? I do appreciate your feedback on that. John sent me an email, and he says that he's been listening for the last 4 or 5 months. Thanks for being a listener, John. And he's a VP, Vice President of Technology at a company. And he kind of said, hey, Todd, don't forget that voice IP is voice over IP, not voice IP. Okay, so, John, thanks for the correction there. And I will say voice over IP, not voice IP from now on. I think, a lot of us do that, don't we? We say voice IP. But thanks for the info, and I'm glad that you listen to us on your drive. Okay, let's see. I think that's all in the comments that I want to go through right now. I am going to address on a later show some of the feedback that I've gotten on people want to see improved on the show or change. And I want to just remind everyone, I know that there's times that I fly through a lot of content, okay? And the reason I fly through it is I want to give you as much content as possible in the shortest amount of time. So there are times that I really get rolling, and I know that I get to laughing at myself at times. So I always try to put all of the links to the articles that I talk about in the show notes. So don't be writing down anything while you're driving down the highway, okay? Don't do that. When you get to your destination and you get on a computer, just make a mental note to yourself. Go over to geeknewscentral.com and take a look at the show notes. The links will all be there. And I try to highlight them. I try to title them in a way that'll kind of lead you into the subject that we're talking about. And if I am not being clear enough on that, make sure that you let me know, and we'll make a change. Okay, wow. I'm ahead of schedule. That's good. That could mean that we might actually finish a little ahead of time today. And that's going to be okay if we do that. I'll get you guys on to some other podcasts. Okay. Big, 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 big news in the weblog world today, in that Weblogs Incorporated has been bought by AOL. Now, Weblogs Inc. is the same company or same they basically have the Engadget website along with about 88 to 100 more, I guess. So AOL purportedly spent between 20 and 35 million for those approximately 100 blogs. Pretty good return on investment for considering 2 years that this company has been in business. Pretty amazing, yeah. Just goes to show you what networks can trend out and you know, basically sell out as. It's pretty cool. Okay, how many of you get spam in your email that every once in a while you see where you're being enlightened to go check out a stock? Okay, someone's giving you a stock tip. Have you seen these spam stock tips? Well, a gentleman has taken in, he watches all those emails that come in. And then he's running a site right now. It's called the Spam Stock Tracker. And it says, just how much can you lose? And what they've done is they've imaginarily invested in all these stocks that have come in via spam. And they have initially set out and did a total, total cash outlay of $17,405. And within just a very short time, the total current value today is $9,287 for a net profit of in the red of $8,117. So those are some perfect stock tips that you guys can check out. Don't buy any of the stock, folks, okay? The spam stock that's being sent, he has only, of all of those that he has listed, there's only two that have actually made any money, all right? So delete that stuff. Get rid of it, okay? Okay, next week, October 12th, Apple is going to be making an announcement saying, hey, we've got some new products, and the big rumor yesterday was it was going to be a video iPod. Well, Engadget is reporting today with a sad face that there is going to be no video iPod on October 12th. But the rumor on the street is that they're actually going to introduce a new full-size iPod that's a little smaller than the current iPod. So we're going to be able to get an 80-gig iPod that has a smaller footprint. So, you know, they're going in the way of with Nano, how they went real small with Nano. Just think what they're going to do with the actual iPod itself. So I'm guessing is they're going to do is probably use the same screen or maybe a little bit modified screen, maybe something a little bigger, and then they're using a different type of hard drive, supposedly. So it's going to result in a smaller iPod. So, you know, I've been in the market. My wife keeps eyeing my regular iPod here. She's got a Shuffle, and she's complained to me a couple of times saying, you know, this Shuffle is really kind of, it's boring. I can't figure out which songs I'm listening to, and it's kind of a guest thing as they're being played, and, you know, you have to set it up for me. You know, are you using your iPod today? So I think it's our anniversary's coming up, and I don't know if that's going to be a good anniversary gift or not. 11 years. You think I would get beat down? How about you ladies out there? You think I'm going to get beat down if I buy her a new iPod? That's like, you know, my dad. No, we won't even talk about that. Guys, there's stuff that you buy for your wives on anniversary and things that you don't. Don't ever buy a washing machine, okay? Take it from me. Take it from me. Don't ever buy your wife a washing machine on a birthday, on Christmas, on an anniversary. Don't do it. It's you'll end up being in a doghouse for a very, very long time. Okay, congratulations to Six Apart. They're approaching 4 years of being in business, and for Movable Type being released. And I've been with Movable Type now for 3 years and a half, so I've been with them quite a while with the weblog at Geek News Central. So I'm liking what they've done with 3.2. I was a little bit hesitant in the beginning, but so far I'm pretty impressed with the way 3.2 is working out, and looking forward to see what's coming up next with their offerings. Okay, now this must be acquisition week, because it's rumored. Now, this is a different company or a different website. How many of you that blog are familiar with weblogs.com? Now, it's not Weblogs Inc. That's different. Weblogs.com is owned by Dave Weiner. And it's rumored, and this is a rumor only, but a pretty good rumor, because two people are talking about it and has said they've got some confirmation that he has sold the weblogs.com to VeriSign. and reported purported figures between $2 and $5 million. And a lot of people are like, how come? It's just a blog that takes pings from other blogs, and it's going to be curious to see if you know what, if he does score that, congratulations. Just to go show you right now, is the time to have blog in your name. And I just I wonder how long it's going to be before you have to have podcast in your name to attract some buyers. There's a new report out about Americans who use the internet. It's basically statistics of what the population is doing in utilization. And what I found amazing here was one of the stats that said 26% of Americans 65 and older go online, compared with 67% of those 50 to 64, 80% of those 30 to 49, and 84% of those ages 18 to 29. I'm not going to go much deeper into the stats because I'm going to save it, let you guys go take a look. But I just going to applaud here real quick to say that the 65 and older crowd is getting into, using computers more. Of course, as we all grow older, you know, I think that number will continue to increase because most of us are, you know, have been in the computer age for a number of years, and it's just part of our life. So, but what I think is going to be very curious, though, and maybe it's time for us to do another survey here from the podcast listeners aspect. But when I ran the first survey back in April, I think what we found out was that the median age group that's listening to this show was between 25, I think the majority was like in the 25 to 50 year old range. The 18 to 25 group was really a small number of the total listenership. And I think that makes sense a little bit. But maybe it's time to run another survey. The audience has grown considerably, and maybe we'll see where we're at and what percentages of people are listening to the show. Because I know that I very rarely get comments from people. You know, I have some dedicated listeners that are retired, but very, very few. And I get most of my messages I get from people that are working and in the industry, and you know, they're working a 9-to-5 job and busting their tail just like everyone else. So maybe we'll do another survey. I'll think about that and maybe put one together and talk about it in a couple of weeks maybe. But anyway, great article on who's using the internet, and talks, you know, breaks it down into you know, high school grads, etc. So it's pretty good reference there. Now, if you've read the blog, you know that I have not been happy since yesterday morning. Yesterday morning, I woke up, said, oh, okay, the podcast has been up on Libsyn for a couple of days. Let's go over and see how the show did for numbers-wise. And I went www.libsyn.com, hit enter, and the site didn't come up. And I thought, oh, they're down. So I said, oh, I'll just go ahead and go to work. And I went to work, and midday during a break, I went www.libsyn.com, and they were down. So I said, oh, something's going on. So I instant messaged one of the Libsyn guys on Skype, and they came back and said, have you seen this? And he sent me to an article on Slashdot. Well, on Wednesday, network company Level 3 Communications cut off its direct peering connection to another big network company called Cognent. I probably pronounced that incorrectly, C-O-G-E-N-T, Cognent Communications. And what that basically did was, here in Hawaii, most of the Time Warner, Roadrunner traffic goes out on Level 3. Some of it goes out on some other networks, but the majority of it, if I do trace routes out, go out on Level 3 that uses Level 3 pipe to get back to the mainland. When it hits the pop in San Francisco or L.A., wherever it comes in, it's supposed to hang a right or left and go onto the network that where the traffic's supposed to go. Well, they basically unplugged, or they delisted in the DNS settings, the peering arrangement. So basically part of the internet has went blacked out. I've just been absolutely beside myself, and there's a war going on. Essentially, it's a war of minds, it's a war of wits, a war about money. Level 3 says they're bigger. Cognent's apparently, because they're selling bandwidth cheaper, they're pushing more traffic through Level 3 than you know, there's supposed to be like this equal co-share, you know, it's supposed to be like a one for one, you know. So if I send you one bit, I'll take one of yours, and then we're even. We won't pay each other. But apparently that ratio is skewed, and Level 3 is getting a lot more pulled through them than they're actually pushing back. So there's been a bit of a war going on. So what that has meant is just a major disruption everywhere. Now, Libsyn worked real hard, and this afternoon, 24 hours later, Libsyn got me back in business, and I can touch their site again. But they had to make manual changes on their site to route around this blockage. And luckily, they're multi-homed so that they're able to, at least I think they're multi-homed, or however they got out, they got me back in there. So if you've had problems reaching websites, it's because of this net blackout. And this is the second or third time this has happened, but this is the biggest. And I'm kind of, in my personal opinion, I think what Level 3 has done here is tantamount to, and this is my opinion, you know, it's like terrorist activity. Okay, now that's my opinion, and it's in my opinion, obviously. But they should have done everything in their power. It's a business thing, I know that, but you just don't go and sever connections like this, and it's literally a war between these two networks. Now, there's some people on the side of Cognit, they're saying, well, all they have is porn sites, and all they have is war sites, and they sell their bandwidth real cheap. Well, good. I'm glad they sell their bandwidth real cheap, because there's people like me that are doing startup businesses that need cheap bandwidth and be able, you know, we can't, we're you know, you're bootstrapping yourself. You have to be able to, and I'm not saying that's not who we're going with for our backbone provider, but, you know, there's companies out there that are real tight. Now, of course, that's going to attract the porns and the Juarez and all that, because they're all about bandwidth traffic and moving data. Well, Libsyn is on, I believe, Cognit's website or on their network. So that's where the disconnect came. So I've got a couple articles up on the website. You can check it out. I've been pretty vocal about it. Here in Hawaii, we're more affected than a lot of you. Maybe some of you have not even noticed it. But because we have limited bandwidth in, limited bandwidth out, and basically depends on the network we're going down, and it's tied heavily to Time Warner and Roadrunner, it just causes, you know, I've not been able to reach a lot of sites, primarily on the East Coast, just cannot get to the East Coast at all. Okay, there's a article in the BBC that talks about a site is protecting rights of snappers. Now, what they're referring to is there's a lot of people that are doing personal journalism now where they're going out and they're the first people on the scene of a car accident, and they're taking pictures of the accident, and they're going back and writing on their blog about it. Well, this is an online marketplace that lets people set prices and conditions for the photos they want to sell. So if you've got a picture of something and you want to protect that so it's not going to go, you know, someone's not going to hijack your picture and put it on their news site, you can actually sell the content that you took being the first one on the scene. I think this is pretty cool. And I think people that, you know, this is going to bring some power into having good camera phones and carrying a camera with you to capture those moments that are normally never, ever caught. And, you know, I carry a throwaway camera in my car at all times in case I get in an accident, you know, for the same type of purpose of being able to document what happened. But for those of you that do this kind of stuff and have had people hijack your pictures before, check out this site. I'll have the link up via BBC. Now, how many of you are always running your cell phone out of power, but you have your laptop with you? Well, there's an adapter now being sold by ASIO Corporation, where you just plug the adapter into your PS2, and then you plug it into your phone, and your phone will operate just fine. So if you like carrying extra cables around and want to make sure you got juice for your phone, it's a good thing. Go ahead and check it out. Okay, for those of you that are Sony PSP users, there is a virus in the wild. It's a Trojan that targets the portable PlayStations, of course. Excuse me, the PlayStation portable systems. It's called Trojan.PSP Brick, and it's a Category 1 threat, and with Category 5 being the worst. So there's no confirmed infections, only that it is known that it's targeted for that. So be careful when you're out there downloading stuff, especially if you're, you know, hacking away on your PSP and it will, you know, this is gonna make the rounds. So I don't want your PSP to end up being a hood ornament. Okay. Okay. Next Tuesday is Patch Tuesday. So obviously we're gonna remind you on the next show. But there are 9 patches coming. Some of these are critical. Some of them will be patching Internet Explorer. And of course, I hope none of you are using Internet Explorer. I hope all of you have switched to Firefox. I know some of you still are because you told me you were. So Get the Firefox buzz, all right? Get over there and download it and give it a try. In a development down in Australia, there a court ruled down there today that a gentleman who had used a mod chip in a Sony PlayStation 2 game sold, basically ruled in favor of this guy who put this mod chip in and says that he's allowed to do it. So the title of this article on PC World, it says it's time to end region encoding. And for those of you that, and I'm sure all of you are aware that obviously if you take a DVD or a game to another country, many times it won't work because of the region encoding. I know it's totally just, it irritates me. And, you know, when you buy a DVD somewhere and you have to check the regional coding on it because, you know, you take it home and you can't play it. It ends up being a coaster. So it's a call for these manufacturers to end this madness of having regional encoding. You know, if you go buy a game, an inexpensive game in Asia, let's say you're on travel and you end up in Asia and you buy some inexpensive games and you bring them back, you can't play them just because of the encoding. So, you know, it's a protection. What they're trying to do with this encoding is to protect markets, but it's time to bypass all that. Now, here's a little hint that I have found out. The cheaper, now this is just for regular DVDs. The cheaper the DVD player you buy, if you buy a real cheap, you know, one of those that you can get for like $27.95 on sale at, I won't say what box or what store, but if you go out and buy a real cheap one, many times those do not have regional encoding. Now, you can ask around a little bit, do a little searching online, and you'll actually find DVD recorders being sold in the United States today that you can watch region 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 movies on with no problem, all right? Over on Wired, they have an article on tips for top taggers, those of you that are bloggers. You know, tags are, if you guys look at the bottom of every post at geeknewscentral.com, you'll see sometimes, especially on the when I'm talking about fair use or I'm talking about media, you'll see media information commerce at the bottom, and those are kind of like what people refer to as category tags, but what those really are tags that can be used in Delicious or other services, and it allows people that come to the website to be able to find information quicker by searching for a tag, okay? So if you are a tag user, and my tags are numbered now on my particular website, I guess nearly 300, I've used 300 different tags, it talks about managing those tags and how to get better at categorizing stuff. So go ahead and check this article out at Wired. Good news and information there. Okay, apparently there's some speculation, and this is reported by NASA Shuttle Program Manager Wayne Hale, has said that workers may have actually damaged the shuttle foam, which caused the separation. Now, if you remember, there was this, you know, they've shut the shuttle fleet down again because of this foam falling off the external tank, and the word on the street is, at least the initial indications are, that it was probably done by workers when they had to go in and make a repair. They're going to be going and take a little closer look and make sure that this is the actual deal, and they're going to report on it. But here they are. They probably grounded, and this is my expectation, they've likely grounded the entire fleet because of a repair and probably an improper patch job or something. Gosh, I guess we could have been doing shuttle launches now, but of course the tank facility in New Orleans, you know, has been kind of out of business. So obviously they wouldn't be able to launch another space shuttle regardless. Some more science news. The Red Nova is reporting that Ulysses, the fifth satellite that is in a polar orbit around the sun, six-year orbit at that, which was launched in 1990 by the space shuttle, is still out there collecting science, and they've extended the mission on that until 2008. Some great info on here, and I hope that you all go over and check that out. I know we've got some science fans in the audience, so if you haven't caught up with that before, I wasn't familiar with this Red Nova site. This is the first time I've seen it. Looks like a great site. You can check that out at rednova.com. Okay, I should have talked about this at the beginning of the show, but those of you that are going to be going to the Portable Media Expo in November in Ontario, California, I've announced on the website that Doug Kay from IT Conversations is going to be holding a podcast academy. I'm going to be one of the instructors there, along with Michael Gohagan and some others. I think Chris McIntyre from Podcast Alley is going to be there early to actually do this one-day session. It's going to start at 8 a.m. on the 10th. I've actually made changes to my reservations and everything. So I'm going to be in Ontario on the evening of the 9th, or afternoon of the 9th, and then participate in this discussion and training sessions on the 10th. It's $50, and I think you're going to get some major, major value out of this, okay? So make sure that if you can, and especially if you live in California, it'll be real easy. I know some of you may have already made your reservations and everything, but I'll be there. And I tell you what, if you're a Geek News Central listener and you go to the training session on the 10th, we can hook up and maybe we'll do something on the evening of the 10th, have dinner. Maybe we do a live podcast session or something and have a lot of fun. It's the Podcast Expo is going to be a riot. And we're going to have a lot of great information coming out of there. Of course, we're going to be giving out the podcast awards on the 11th. I've seen some images of the trophies. They look beautiful. So looking forward to handing those out to all of our podcastaward.com winners. Okay, over on Boing Boing, and I must have missed this on an EFF announcement, but apparently there are 20 congressmen or women who have decided that they're going to sell out to Hollywood on this broadcast flag initiative. So once again, we need your help. I'm going to link up this Boing Boing article. You can read the information that he's put up there. And there's a link at the bottom. That link will take you to a website that is going to allow you to send all 20, all 20 of those congressional members, and you can send them a letter and tell them how you think the broad, if you, in your personal opinion, think the broadcast flag is a bad thing, which I, if you've been listening to this show, you understand how bad it really is. Make sure you get over there. And let's not make sure that this legislation gets snuck into any type of laws that are being cooked on the books. And we don't want to get stuck with this horrible, horrible broadcast flag, okay? Now, I think one of you sent me an email about this before, but I may have missed it. Have you all seen the website Meebo, meebo.com? I absolutely today saw this website. And I was like, oh, yes, thank you. It's a web. I'm giving you a little tip into something we're going to cover on the 15th. So here's a freebie. It's a application that allows you to do instant messaging via a web-based application. So you can log in via ICQ or AIM, Jabber or GTalk, Yahoo Messenger or MSN. And instead of, because where I work, I am not allowed to run instant messenger on my taskbar, but I'm allowed to use a port 80 window, so you're actually going to be able to use your web browser to do instant messaging. Now, be careful where you work. If your work doesn't allow that, they probably don't want you doing this, so don't get yourself fired in the process. I know that I'm not going to get myself in trouble, but every once in a while, I need to send an instant message. This may work out okay. All right, Meebo.com. All right, I think we talked about this on the last show. I'm not sure. NewsGator Technologies has acquired NetNewsWire. For those of you that are not familiar with what NewsGator is, NewsGator owns FeedDemon. They have an online, NewsGator is actually an online RSS feeder, and NetNewsWire is a Mac application. So what's going to be cool about this is I can use FeedDemon on my PC, and when I'm at work, I can use NewsGator to keep track of what's going on news, and then when I get home, if I've got the Mac fired up, I can use NetNewsWire, and all my articles will stay synced. And so long as I've got them set up to synchronize, this is going to be cool. So cross-platform compatible. You're not going to have to worry about having old news, new news, different feeds, etc. You can synchronize everything amongst PCs, the web, and your Mac. Okay, so check that out. Both of those applications, NetNewsWire and FeedDemon, are my two choices, the ones I really, really like. Okay, HBO has decided that they are not real happy with people sharing HBO shows. So they are fighting back, and the way they're fighting back is they are putting up, and apparently, quote-unquote, this is again some more possible rumor, but apparently they're poisoning the BitTorrent downloads of episodes of its own shows, and what they're basically doing is they're putting up bogus files that have junk in them and trash. Now, it's not being real effective because most of the newer BitTorrent clients are able to detect this type of activity and kill it on the spot. So, but anyway, HBO is the next the next company that's basically declared war on BitTorrent use. This was up on TechDirt. We're at 39 minutes, and I'm wrapped up. I've got all the material done that we're going to talk about tonight, and I don't have any promos to play. I was thinking about maybe playing a little Hawaiian music for you so that we give you 2 or 3 minute sample of my wife's cousin's music. So I'll play that at the end. But I want to thank you for staying subscribed to the Geek News Central podcast. Of course, make sure you visit geeknewscentral.com on a regular basis. Subscribe to the RSS feed for the regular news. As always, you can reach me at geeknews@gmail.com. You can Skype me at Geek News Central, or you can call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. As always, thank you for being part of my big family here, and ohana, as we say in Hawaii. And you guys are the best, and I would not be doing this without you, obviously. And I appreciate all the great comments and the feedback that you've all sent me. And I do owe some of you feedback information. And guess what? The Show 100 stuff is actually, I'm starting to divvy that stuff out. So those of you that are Show 100 winners, you're actually going to start, some of you have started to get emails. They're not all out yet, but they will be. I'm actually caught up for the week. The final's done. And we're wrapped up. But anyway, folks, give you a little Hawaiian music, and we will see you on Tuesday. All right, folks. All right, we'll see you on Tuesday. Aloha, and take care. Bye-bye.